concerning who? Me. Look at verse 5. And he opened the understanding that they might what? Understand the scripture. We said the word to understand them is to what? To put together. So Christology helps us to put together. It's like you have, I don't know if you have ever played all these things where you have to arrange pieces together. You know, this kind of things now. So that's what Christology is. We are bringing the pieces together. Verse 46. Thus is written, thus he suffered, and Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead. The what? The third day. Let's look at John 5:39. John 5:39. It says that you search the scripture for them, you think you have eternal life. They are they which what? Which testifies of me. So, John 5:39. Do the scriptures talk about Jesus?
Yes.
Eh?
Yes.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, are the scriptures Christological?
Yes, sir.
Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 to 12. I hope I'm inspiring your Bible study. It says, of this salvation the prophet have inquired and searched diligently. Who prophesied of the grace that should come to you? Verse 11. Searching what? All manner of time, the Spirit of Christ who was in them. I think that's still a question we've not still been able to answer in our pneumatology. Can you remember that question? Did the people have the Spirit of God in them in the Old Testament? Can you remember? Was there the Spirit within in the Old Testament? Look at verse 12. It says, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they ministered. They were ministering the things which have now been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from them. Things which angels desire to look into. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. No prophecy of scriptures of private interpretation, for prophecy came not by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the word, the Holy Ghost. So, are the scriptures Christological? Are the scriptures Christological? Yes, they are. So let's read something together. So, I want to ask us a very interesting question. And I want us to be very sincere. Because it's going to kind of about this book.
I haven't read that review, but I only chose some things from it. Anyways, I want to ask us some questions, right? So go back to Luke 24, verse 27.
We saw that who wrote the book of Deuteronomy?
Moses from Joshua.
Who wrote the book of Deuteronomy?
Moses and Joshua.
Moses
and Joshua.
So who wrote that Moses died?
The Spirit of Moses.
And you see that same sequence. Romans. Who wrote the book of Romans? Paul. Oh, so it's not written by Paul. So it's written by Tatius. Who is written there? Do you understand? Yeah. So we would have done that same notice last year. Of course, you find out that of course we'd have done in the notice in Bible study I mean in the writing of the Bible, or writing of the epistles, we have the first writer, we also have second writers. We have people who also wrote something to it, like Peter. For example, when you read the book of Mark, and Mark only has 16 chapters, right? Mark is like the smallest of the four gospels. Do you guys know?
Yes.
Of course, because it's the first that was written. Yeah, Mark was the first. It's not Matthew now. and it was Mark. Mark was the first. It was written by Saint. It was written by what's his name?
Mark.
But it was dictated by Peter. So we have all of that. But again, it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So it says between says beginning at Moses and what? All the prophets. Okay. So let's say from Judges to Malachi for now, right? Abi.
Yes, sir.
Abi. Okay. For example, when we read that, when we look at Psalms 22, Eli, Eli, Lamach, Abakani, Abi, my God, probably for second. Who said that eventually? Who made that statement?
Yeah.
Who was the first person that made that statement? David. But who made the statement afterwards?
Jesus.
Okay. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, so now let's do something. I want to ask you a question. Do you think all the books, or all the, because I'm going to ask some questions, do you think all the chapters of the Bible is about Christ? So if you think yes, and raise your hand. If you think no, raise your hand. If you are no fan, raise your hand. It cannot be in the middle.
Yes.
Do you think all the chapters, well, okay, first, are all the books of the Bible Christological?
Songs of songs.
Esther. Okay, so he has Esther in mind. Okay, so let's stick out Esther. Esther, what was that book? Song of Songs. That one's rated it.
Yeah.
How would you be, sir? Kiss me with the kisses of your lips. Imagine they say you come and lead prayer. That's the first one you read. Jesus, kiss me with the kisses of your lips. You know. Okay, Songs of Songs. What was that book? They gave back to just a Bethlehem.
Yes.
And interestingly, Ruth was mentioned in Matthew 1.
Yes, from a lineage.
And of course, you know why that was done? We said that, of course, when they do all this genealogy, the Jews don't have women to it. Jews don't have women to genealogy. They only always had a gender. And because those are the Jews, they needed to add women. They had only men. That's why I see Luke. Luke 3's genealogy was basically about men. It wasn't women. And the reason why Matthew added women to it was to show them that women were also key players in fulfilling God's plan and purpose on the earth. It wasn't just men. I mean, Abraham could not have given birth alone.
Of course not.
He wasn't gay.
Even if he was gay.
It's still Sarah that brought for the child. But there were active people he mentions. He mentions Ruth, he mentions Rahab, he mentions one more person. Who's the third person? Just three. Oh, I just only two. Tamar. Yes. Who's it, Tamar?
Matthew.
Who's it, Tamar? I remember that Tamar story. Oh, they taught us in class. They even used to teach us for lust, love and crush and lust. Now Mr. Ojo used to teach us that if you have crush, it will crush you. Tamar is Absalom now.
Yes.
Is Tamar there?
Genealogy
is Obed, Jesse, and David.
Yes,
and now, so we have the book of Ruth. Ruth is like when you're So of course we can't remove Ruth. So you mentioned Esther.
Esther.
I like that name.
No, I don't. No, of course, her name is Esther. Her name is Queen.
What other book? I've read Zephaniah before. Honestly, be honest. Hosea. Abaku is Abaku too. The vision is just for an appointed time. That's the only one. What other book? So you think Esther and Song, okay, so let's say book now, so book. So you think Esther and Song of Songs, right? We're not written. What about Proverbs? So I'm trying to ask about opinion, yeah? So who is the wisdom? Christ is the wisdom. Lamentations. Ecclesiastes. You guys never mentioned it. There's Christ in Lamentations. Who wrote the book of Lamentations? Let me ask.
Oh yeah, now.
Jeremiah now. He's gonna say of course. We're going to see all of that later. Of course, Lamentation is Christology because God does lament. Do you know? He does though. He lamented in Genesis 6. He said the earth is full with rage. He said the earth is corrupt. He says it grieves God's heart. You can't be grieved and not lament. No. He did. Even Jesus lamented.
Yeah.
On the cross. So of course I'm just using that to just show you. We wouldn't have done all of this fasting in maybe nothing, so we would have done the other way around. But I think so let's just leave it on this. So you hear what I'm saying now? Of course, Jesus is, you know, but I mean he lamented. So what about Ecclesiastes? Let me show you something about the book.
Are we ready? Some of them have opened that book before. I am a tanga.
I am a tanga. Yeah, there's a way where you've not read something before. You just walk your way around the just like, I don't know where it's found in the Bible, but it's about Christ.
Ecclesiastes is page 458.
Is after Proverbs. Look at Ecclesiastes 1:2. Now, who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? Solomon. Very good. Now, who is Solomon? Who is he? He's a king who has many resources. He's full of wisdom, has married all the wives in the world. He has built a lot of idols. No, I told you guys that. I mean, when they say 700 wives, 300 concubines, they're not literally saying he has 700 wives, 300 concubines. They're telling you that he actually loved a lot of women. Of course, could they have been counting it? Was there population census? One. Two. Next. Three. They're just saying that he loved so many women, they couldn't count the number. Because, of course, when the Bible says that Solomon offered 1,700 plus 300 now, think about it. When the Bible says Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings, do you actually think he counted it? Just to tell you that Solomon's heart was full of worship. He offered so many things to God. Is that Victor?
Instrument.
You spoke yesterday.
It's an instrument.
It says vanity or vanity, says the preacher. Vanity or vanity. All these words. He has had all the people. He has married all the women. He has had all the children. He has had all the money. But he calls it vanity. It means that, see, look up. Material resources cannot fill a man. See where he ends it. Look at the last chapter. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. I'm going to read Ecclesiastes 13. I'm going to read Proverbs 1, 3 to 4. I'm going to see that it's very similar. What does it say? Verse 12. And further, my son, be admonished by this, of making many books. There is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us conclusion of the what?
Woman.
So what is the, when you say conclusion, it's the theme. Let's hear the theme of the book. It says, fear God and what?
His commandments.
For this is what?
The whole duty of man.
Can you see that? So what is the theme of the book? To fear God. Aside all the material resources, to fear God, keep all the commandments. Is that not the truth? That's the truth. The Lord your God is one. Fear him. Are you guys learning something? Are you sure? So someone is saying, now take your time and read it. Paul is saying, behind all of this, he says, there is time. Paul is saying, when he says there is time, he says, there is time to play. I have experienced it. Do you see what I'm saying? There's time to sleep. I mean, this is a man who literally controls the wisdom, the money of the universe. But he's saying, beyond all these things, there's a time to see God. He said, I'm looking at all these women, all the gods that are built, and it's vanity. God's central message is to fear him. Where did we start from? We said our theology is what?
Christology.
Is there a way we talk about God and not talk about Christ? Of course not. How do we fear God? We believe God is one, and God is one in Christ. Are you saying it? No, of course. Read it. The preacher writing about it. So I says, of course, I'm not going to talk about Song of Songs. Amen?
Amen.
The real truth is that Song of Songs is actually a poetic book. One, it's a love poetic book. Amen.
Amen.
So brothers don't get Riz. You know Riz?
Gary
Song of Songs.
I'm thinking of one.
It's your name's prayer. Because we can build up our home together. You know what prayer does? It builds us up in
Okay, okay.
Should I give you another?
No.
We've established this as that being polite means you believe the polite revelation,
yes.
Right? The polite revelation is Christology. True or false? Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Okay.
Say I'm polite.
I'm polite.
I'm not getting married.
Of course.
You get married. My wife will not die. Your wife will not die.
Look at all these brothers.
Say follow the same line. Say no, we want to follow Paul's line. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I like Bible. You like to study. Together we can have a Bible study.
Hey!
No!
Tell me more.
Do you like fishbone? Because I'm very sure. That's all for now. Anyways.
I'm very sure that this is not
too right. This is thinking about it.
No, I just thought about it now. Of course. Psalms. So they had the Targum, and the Targum is what we call the Septuagint. Septuagint is the Greek, because of course Jesus was speaking in Greek, Greek. So of course they had the Greek, translation of the Old Testament in the Targum. It's called TARGM. So that's where you had the Law of Moses, the Prophets, we also had the Psalms too. But let me ask, okay, let's just ask a question. Are all the chapters in the Bible, are they Christology?
No.
Are all the chapters in the Bible Christology?
No.
Okay. Which already comes to your mind that is not Christology? So let's think. Let me start with... Please. Savior, are there chapters you know in the Bible that are not Christology?
That are not.
There are like a lot of them.
I mentioned one.
I don't know. But if you look at Isaiah, Jeremiah, there is not all their chapters. If you want to classify it, if you want to take it as a whole, okay, you can say yes. Mm. But if you want to look at some, there are chapters.
Individual not.
So. Yes.
Mm. Queen. I like that answer. Let me say that answer again. If anybody says that
answer. You said it
all. Favor. Wait, do you believe that? Favor, do you believe that the Bible is Christology? Do you believe every chapter in the Bible is Christology? You do. So that means every chapter in the Bible has like a Christology meaning underneath it. All the verses, all the chapters in the book of Psalms, I think Christology. Good day. Not all. Just learn. Not all. Tega. Not all. It therefore means that if not all the chapters are Christology, is the Bible really Christology? I mean, you guys would want, I didn't say that though. Master Jesus, I didn't say your word is not Christology. I'm just asking. Have you heard that before?
Yes.
Pharaoh's is what? Demon. Temptation. It's Jesus' temptation. Yeah. So, it means that in understanding Christology, we'll have to read it as a whole. Look at what I said when I started. Concerning me. The word peri. Peri means what? Around. You cannot understand Christology in isolation. The moment you do, what you have is called Christomonism. 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 It's the danger. Now we are just entering Christology itself. It's the danger of seeing Christ. Now, is Christ, now don't get me wrong, is Christ everywhere in Scripture? Yes, he is. But is it behind the scenes? So don't read it as an isolation, rather read it as a compilation, as a totality, as an addition. Are you learning something? Story. Let's go to Solomon again. Come on, now start what we have for today. Are you looking at the time, are
you? No, no, no.
Let's look at Solomon. Who is Solomon? Look at, now we just want to do a simple Christology. Are we ready? Are we ready? Look at 1 Kings. Hebrews chapter 11, sorry.
I'm in love, Jesus, I'm in love. Hebrews 11. Where's Solomon? Solomon is in verse... First Kings 11. Actually, I said Hebrews, Abby. I said First Kings before. It's Hebrews. It's First Kings. Sorry, First Kings 11. I hope you guys are learning something. First Kings chapter 11. This one. In understanding Christology, we don't understand Christology in isolation, but rather in what? Compilation, right? In addition, we read it together. My sister is outside.
No. Victor.
Vicky. First Kings chapter 11 verse 1. Open it. Okay. It says, but King Solomon loved what? Many foreign women. As well as the daughters of who?
Pharaoh.
Daughters of who?
Pharaoh.
Women of Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonites, and Hittites. For the nation of whom the Lord has said to the children of Israel, you shall not what? Intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn your hearts after their who?
Yeah,
their who? Look at verse 3. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Verse 4. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not what? Loyal to the Lord his God, and his heart was of his father, who? David. Now, what was that about Solomon? In 1 Kings chapter 3, go to 1 Kings chapter 3. Is that Victor Mary?
Yes.
In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1. So you guys are supposed to be thanking me. Because we've not even started anything yet. Hope you know we are still just.
Yes,
sir. Married Pharaoh's daughter. Then he brought her to the city of David What am I reading? 1 Kings 3, I think. Yes, okay, look at verse 4. And Solomon loved God, walking in the statute of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burnt incense at the high place. Verse 4. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, and there was a great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. Now Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night and said, "Ask what I shall give you." You know, God gives him a blank check. Now it appears that Solomon is so humble. He says, you have shown great mercy to your great servant, to your servant David, because he walked before you in truth and righteousness. You have continued his great kindness for him, and you have given him a substitute on his throne. Look at verse 9. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding as to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. Now, we don't have the time today. God appears to Solomon. He tells Solomon that Solomon asks whatever he wants. And Solomon asks for wisdom. Now, the wisdom there means the wisdom to judge, wisdom to discern. It's the wisdom that you ask for leadership. Imagine that you have just been made, like, let's say, a fellowship leader, or pastor or something. That's what you pray. Because the people that are coming to meet you, they can have it's going. Now, think about it. They bring two women to Solomon to show you that God is indeed wise. They bring them to Solomon, and they ask Solomon and tell Solomon, one of them had killed her own child, right, the night before. She slept with her child. They don't say that this is my child. Don't know again. It's my shy. It's not my shy. I know women and shout. I'm sorry. She's my shy. Not my shy. It's my shy. 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 And says my shy. Okay. So he brings the child to Solomon. Now Solomon sees them. Solomon knows that. Now think about it. Is God faithful? If God gives a word, would you go back on it? Can God forsake His people? So Moses uses that Solomon uses that test. The same way he knows God, Yahweh is faithful, Yahweh is going to stick to his covenant that he has made from Abraham till now. He uses that same test for the women. He tells the women and tells them that, okay, who is the child? The faithful man has said, let us kill the child. No, Yahweh cannot kill his children. Yahweh can't forsake his children. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 34, God has been compared to being a woman, a mother, like an eagle. So the same way that Yahweh is not going to forsake his children, a real mother can't do the same too. Are we learning something? So in judging those people in 1 Kings 3, he also uses scripture. Are we learning something? Do you know what I'm saying? Yahweh cannot forsake his people. You cannot say you are the one that gave birth to this child and you want to kill the child. In other words, if God is not compelled to save us, but God chose to do it. I mean, he created you now. Yeah.
Yes, you. Funny how I didn't know you were going to talk about this. So I had a question at the start of this.
See, I tell you to pray for me.
And then you said Yahweh does not forsake his children. There's something in Deuteronomy 31.
Okay, let's read that. So I will just go for profit or something.